Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing. I thank the Lord for every soul He saves. We are living on the edge of the rapture. We're living on the edge of the rapture. The Lord's coming back on time. He's confirmed it many times, many ways, through His people who love Him. So I'm going to say it again. We are living on the edge of the rapture. And with that in mind, be bold to do all that God give you to do. And by all means, warn your loved ones. I believe it's so close that we have just enough time to warn our loved ones. Remember, sometimes it takes time for the word to sink in a person's heart and grow. But the time is short. I'm sure the Lord's going to give us the whatever anointing we need to help people who will soften their heart. Now, people harden their heart this time, this is it. And I don't say that lightly. All the prophets are saying the same thing. They have different aspects of things that are about to happen. And they're warning, they're doing their job. You know, Jonathan Cahn, Perry Stone, other young people on YouTube, unknown people on YouTube are having visions about hell, and visions about Jesus. I saw a young lady from Mexico, and she has her testimony of her visions, her visitation to hell. She actually visited it. And then she doesn't speak English, but she has somebody to read, to recite what she said in English. And it's on YouTube now. And it's amazing. She even said that she saw Michael Jackson there. Now, you know, I know that can be kind of... people can say, well, you know, they saw a celebrity in hell. Well, other people have said the same thing, and then their testimonies match. And these are, again, unknown people, but the prophet Joel said that your young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. Well, it's happening. People that just love God sincerely, men, women, children, the Lord is taking people to heaven and showing them things. And every time, and as it gets closer, the Lord said, warn my people, my return is soon. Now with me, about 2 years ago, the Lord told me that the day is set. I said, wow. And I knew He was talking about the rapture. And He already said it. Now He set the date. Didn't tell me, but he said it. And one day I was working on a car, my son was over, and I told him what the Lord told me, that the day was set, and his eyebrows went up. And he said, man, a friend of mine, that he said, Dad, a friend of mine was telling me about his youth pastor. He was laying on the couch, believing God, praying for a message for the youth group. And the Lord told him the day is set. I said, wow. Now, the Lord knew I would tell my son, and my son would tell me. God gave Pharaoh two dreams about the same thing. One with the corn, one with the cows. And he gave him two dreams. That means it's established. And other people saying the same thing. The Lord is, you know, He's given one person a vision or a dream. Then He turns around and gives the same dream to another person. I mean, they experienced hell and the heat and everything, and they saw it. But this is happening more and more frequent. Now, when the rapture comes, we're all going to wish we would have ministered to one more person or two or three more people. Now is the time we have. After the rapture happened, we are done. The Holy Spirit will be gone and us with Him. And I don't want people to be left here. About 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, the Lord, I woke up one morning. I've talked about this before on recent broadcasts since then, but I'm going to say it again. He said, tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready when I return. Now, the five foolish virgins had oil. They trimmed their lamps. They still had oil in their lamps. While the foolish virgins, they let their oil run out. Live the life of God. Repent wherever you have to. And don't just ask God to forgive you, but do the works of repentance. Even learn things that you need to learn to overcome some things. The Lord made us more than conquerors for a reason. He didn't give us that ability to be more than a conqueror to sit down. He wants us to be more than a conqueror. And He wants us to win in this life. And we should. Now, with that in mind, we must contend for our people. Kenneth Hagin said that his brother, he wanted to get his brother saved. And the Lord showed him how to. He fought a battle for his brother. He rebuked the enemy, rebuked the spirit of deception and blindness, things like that. When I heard his testimony years ago, I started doing that for people at random. And I would just rebuke the enemy for their sakes so the people could get saved. I still do it. When I ministered, the Lord taught me to bind up the spirit of blindness so people could see. The enemy is trying to hide God. We reveal God. We are designed to reveal God. And then, even though we're designed to reveal God in every way, the Lord calls us to the ministry, which He gives us an office, and then whatever He wants us to do, He sanctions us for it, and He gives us an anointing to do it. Utilize the anointing. Keep it active. And when you're around the correct people, they are received from you and they are hearing you out. And they will be blessed by your works of love. Never believe that it's for nothing. Whatever God gives you to do, He's going to use it. If the Lord will prepare a fish to transport Jonah to the shores where he could go to Nineveh, He will use the anointing He gives you. Now, when the rapture happens, that's it. God's people will be gone. Your work will be done. The night has come when no man can work. This is still the day. This is still an hour where you can work. This is the time to take advantage of. Because the enemy is trying to take advantage of all the moments he has to deceive as many as he can to destroy mankind, to hurt God's heart. As we go forward doing everything according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we take away from Satan's kingdom and we hurt him at his heart. God loves all of his people tremendously. And Satan has no right to interfere. That's why God gave us authority over him, to stop him at our will. And we can take authority over the works of Satan, of darkness. I like how in Luke chapter 10, we have authority over all the power of the enemy, all the way down to serpents and scorpions. You know, when Paul was on the island of Melita, a viper bit him. And he shook it off in the fire, and no harm came to him. Because he knew He had faith in the fact that he had authority over all the power of the enemy. When he went to, when he would go out to different cities that God would give him to go, when he would go out ministering, the enemy had sent a thorn in the flesh to buffet Paul, to hinder him, to knock him back down, so that he wouldn't be full of the joy of the Lord. Everywhere he went, the enemy would have somebody to harass him. Now, he got rid of that thorn in the flesh. The first reference of a thorn in your side is back in the book of Judges. When Joshua was supposed to drive out the Canaanites, he warned Israel, if you don't drive them out, they'll be like smoke in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Well, Gentile people, a lady had a spirit of divination on her. And he was out ministering and going to the cities where he would preach, and she would say, "These are the men of God that take away the sin of the world. Show us the way of salvation." Just harassing them, aggravating them. She said, "These are the men of God who show us the way of salvation." Just aggravating them. And so he turned around and rebuked that foul spirit. And she couldn't do her familiar spirit was gone. She couldn't divine anymore, which she couldn't in the first place, but she couldn't use the knowledge of demons against people. See, demons, they know things about us, and they can tell people secrets about all of us. They watch us. They're around. You know, they're always looking at us. They're crazy. But anyway, that spirit was gone, and she didn't have any way to know things about anybody. And the men that she was working for, they got mad and had Paul arrested. And then Paul worshiped God in jail, he and Silas, and the Lord moved in that jail. And then an earthquake happened and opened all the doors and nobody left. The jailer was about to commit suicide over this. And Paul said, "Don't kill yourself, we're here." And that man got saved. He washed Paul and Silas up, took them home, and his family got saved. Now, authority is for us to use at our will. As we go forward in the Lord, doing His work, doing His perfect will, we have the right to do it. We can stop Satan that as well. It's easy. Like I said in the previous broadcast, if you win the internal battle, if you win on the inside, if you pray and win your battle in your prayer room, you destroy all deception and temptation on the inside, and you have victory there. It's easy to defeat Satan on the outside. Because if we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, he will be glad to flee from you. You know, demons run fast when they're running away from people of faith. When they command him to leave. I don't know what all the angels do to him, but they don't want to be around to have it done. They move. So take courage. Ask the Lord for wisdom for your family, your loved ones, your friends, co-workers, people you're around all the time. Ask the Lord, how do I minister to this person? Receive His wisdom that they may live. And then whatever work God give you, do it quickly. Do it, give it your best. Do it with honor. Do it with the integrity of the word. It's very important, because we have these last few moments to do the work of God. And I love to study end times. But a study of end time will arouse the fear of the Lord in you to make good use of time. You know, I don't want anybody I know to be left here. I work hard in the ministry, and I desire that even my friends will listen to the website broadcast. But just like Jesus said, no prophet is without honor except in his own hometown and around his own family. So it is with me. But I believe in God for my people. I love them. They love me, but they, you know, loved ones and friends don't always listen to you. But people that want to know God will, whether they're friends or strangers. When people want to know God, they'll put aside their whatever it is to keep them from listening. I'm like this. It doesn't matter to me who it is. If the Lord uses people and speak through them, I want to listen. When I hear my Father's voice, I'm going to listen. I don't care who they are, where they come from, boy, girl, man, woman. I don't care what race they are. Some people, that's a big deal, but not to me. I thank God for his handiwork and his work in all of his people. Jesus is the one. He's the author and finisher of everybody's faith. So the word of God didn't say Jesus is the author and finisher of people's faith that you don't know. He didn't say that your family members, he didn't say that excludes your friends and family. Whoever God uses to speak a word through, whoever hear it, they're responsible with that word. And the Lord does watch to see how we handle holy information. And people don't, you know, they make a big deal out of people. They're looking at people. And we have to look way beyond people and seek the Lord. Because God is good. And He deserves our praise. He deserves to be heard. He deserves to be understood. And when we listen to Him, and when we take Him at His word, and not look at the people, but look to Him, then we won't miss the point. We'll honor the covenant and partake of what God is saying through the people we know. Cold religion is a dead tradition that people have accepted. And I say don't accept it. I don't accept cold religion and the foolishness of it. The things that, when I'm in God's presence, the things I learn from Him, those are the things I put first. And then I make my adjustments. Now, I know that Jesus said a prophet is not without honor except among his family and friends in his own hometown. I understand it. So what that means to me is when people that I'm close to or feel equal to, or they're my friends, if they speak according to the word of God, I'm going to listen. I'll even ask them questions because the Lord is using them. I don't care if it was a sibling, a nephew. I don't have any younger siblings, but All my siblings are old. I got 3 older sisters. But it doesn't matter who he uses. I thank God for the person he's using, and I listen to see what he has to say to me. And whatever they say, I thank God for it. It's the same as if the Holy Spirit speaking, because the same Holy Spirit that's in me is in them. It's just one Holy Spirit. We're baptized into one Spirit. And there's only one body of Christ. It's time for the church to mature. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus has been on the planet. Why are we still operating? Are you allowing the weaknesses of society to be what we call normal? He said, no prophet is without honor except for in his own hometown, among his own kin. We ought to know better by now. Why does somebody have to be from out of town before we hear them? Why do they have to be in the forefront to be received? Now we see it, we realize how ridiculous it is. The people that you see on TV, they have friends and family as well. And they have people that don't honor them. And we're on the other end being blessed, and their own siblings are lost. Or their siblings don't listen to them because of cold religion. Now, everybody's not that way. There are people who will read their siblings' writings, books, listen to their tapes. They can see beyond the sibling rivalry. God got best friends out there that, you know, they grew up together, went to elementary, high school together. One got saved and one got saved later. And they listen to each other. They counsel each other. And if they, whatever part of their ministry, they help them out and they learn. They're mature. They have matured. I'm sure they had the same challenge to not listen. And for a time they probably didn't. But when you mature in the Lord, you can listen. And you can receive. What used to be normal shouldn't be normal after the Holy Spirit has been on the earth 2,000 years. Now some people are just finding out that they can have a relationship with the Lord and the Lord talk to them and teach them and help them understand things. And we need to have that communion with the Holy Spirit, to where we go in His presence, listen to Him, talk to Him, and learn from Him and start understanding things. Because when those kind of things are in place, good things follow. What used to be impossible becomes possible. What used to be a problem becomes easy. And if you really want to make a difference, use the anointing God gave you. Use it according to its purpose. Be available and yield it to God so that you activate your anointing. And then when you're around the right people, they'll activate your anointing and receive from it. See, it's your part to be there doing the work, and it's their responsibility to receive it. Jesus said that in the day you hear, harden not your heart. Because when people harden their heart against the mighty things of God, they can't receive it. Even though the anointing is there to heal them, bless them, help them understand, break the yokes that got them bound. They're bound by alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, pornography, lust, forms of lust and greed. It's like this: if a person is a thief, they learn to be a wily thief. It's hard for them to just stop. The enemy has them trapped. They will steal when they don't have to. They'll even steal when they don't really want to. They can't help it. Now, that's how all sin works. It traps you. It's entrapment. And it will poison you. It will bind you up. And you need the anointing to destroy it. The only way to destroy it is with the anointing of God. That's why the anointing breaks the yoke. When people get into pornography, they can't stop. They need help. They are bound. Then they try to keep it secret. That's why one scripture said, if you have a weakness, talk about it with your brother. They can pray you out of it. They can help you out of the problem. And you won't go to hell. But when people try to keep things a secret, instead of dealing with the problem, they die and perish. All sin is antichrist, and all sin has its own form of entrapment. Even the petty sins. But don't be afraid of them. Drive it out of your life by receiving God's word, speaking God's word, and acting on God's word. In doing so, you'll take advantage of time, and you'll be able to be a blessing to all men, like you're designed to be. Now, people that listen to this broadcast, I'm sure you know these things, but these are the things that need to be explained to the crowds. People that don't know that they can draw near to the Lord and the Lord will draw near to them. They need to know these elementary things. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He rejoices to teach you his word, and he'll be glad to minister to you on anything that you need to fulfill all your needs according to his riches and glory. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.